Well, you can be seated and welcome. We are so glad that you're here today. College students, welcome. Special welcome to you. This is one of my favorite days of the year. You guys are back, and it's probably maybe not the favorite day of the year for you because classes start tomorrow, right? Is that true? Yeah, good luck with that. My name is Levi, and I'm the senior pastor here at Evangel. And what we are about at Evangel is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is truly good news. And that's what we're going to spend most of our time today is talking about what is the good news, what is our name, why we have that name. And so before we do that, before we get into the word of God, let's just pray. Father, we come and we just worship you. We ask that your spirit would be upon us, that it would change us, that it would mold us, that your words that are spoken from this stage, God, that they would have power in them, that you would unleash your power on us to do great things in your name. God, I pray a special blessing over these college students who are starting a new year. Help them to be diligent in their studies, but also diligent in the pursuit of you. God, you tell us to seek you first, and all things will be added. So seek your kingdom, God. We just ask that they would do that, and we would all do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So one of the things, you've come to Evangel. In the wintertime, it was called Evange. We lost the L. On Evangel, we had 14 feet of snow piled up, and the L went into a snowbank, and we couldn't find it. And so we were Evange for a while, but we are Evangel. That has been our name since, I think, 1976. And that name means good news. And so I want to explain that today, why we're here, what we do, and our motto, living the good news in the Copper Country, sharing the good news with the world. Every one of you college students, to us, you are missionaries. We are training you up to go out and to go into new places and new spaces and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what you're here for. And I know that you're going to get a degree from Michigan Tech, but that's not really why you're here. You're really here because the kingdom of God has called you, and the kingdom of God wants to use you in whatever job or whatever place you've ever gone into. And so we wanted to explain what Evange means. Evangel, I got confused. And so what's behind that word? When we read the word gospel in our Bible, we know that it means good news. We say, hey, this is good news. The Greek word translated gospel is euangelion. And that's where we get our name. Evangel is a derivative of that. And now this is the thing that most of us have never been told. When we think of good news, we think of things like Costco. Like, that's a good news word, right? Costco. Like, it is the greatest news ever. There's this one place where you can get a hot dog and a pop for $1.50, and all of your shopping needs are there. And it's a wonderful place. That's good news. But this is even greater than that. It's actually a military word. The idea of evangel or evangelion is this. It's a military word. And I need you to stick with me for just a moment, because you probably haven't heard this, because I hadn't heard this as I studied this word. Think about a city in Rome for a second. They're always battling, and there's conquering going on. And if there was a battle coming, there's two cities. So you see these two cities, they're going to come together. Instead of having like this war between all the fighting men on both sides, what they would do is they would send out their greatest warrior. And the greatest warrior would fight against the other side's greatest warrior. And so this incredible battle happens. And then you have somebody standing, usually the fastest dude in the army would stand there. And if you won, you would send the evangelist, that's where we get that word from, back to your city, and they would say, we won. Good news. Because what would happen is all of that winning that happened in that moment was imputed onto the city. It was given to the city. It was given to the people of that city. And he would run back and say, it is finished. It's finished. We won. We're victorious. And you would go, what? What would you do? You would cheer, because the alternative is what? You're enslaved, right? By the other city. So go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. You don't actually have to turn in your Bibles. There'll be some passages on there, because we're going to go really quickly through this because I don't have a lot of time. But we know the story. The story is this. The story is the story of David and Goliath. Now, remember, David was a shepherd boy and his brothers were at battle. They were those soldiers that were standing on the side of the hill. The Philistines were on the other side. The Philistines had this dude named Goliath. He was, the Bible describes him as being 9 feet tall. His armor weighed probably more than a man in here. He was huge. He was big. He wielded a sword that was enormous. And he was calling out, and it was a winner take all. This is what was the rules. For 40 days, they sat and they shouted at each other, send your best warrior, send your best warrior, send your best warrior, and we're going to take him out. And winner takes out, takes all. The Philistines then would control the Israelites, or if the Israelites won, the Philistines would be controlled by them. And so the king at the time, his name was Saul. He was a head above everyone in Israel. He was a big dude, but not that big of a dude. And he was terrified. And then you have this little shepherd boy coming to see his brothers. His daddy sends him out there. And I don't know what he sent him out there to do, to go and bring them some food. I don't, maybe some cheese or something like that, that they could eat and they could. And he hears this big, huge giant shouting like, you can't take me. You can't do this. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And there's this battle cry on both sides happening. And so David hears this battle cry. He hears what's happening and he sees all the Israelites, all the warriors, they're shaking in their boots because this dude is huge. And so what does he do in verse 47? Can we put that verse up? Chapter 13, verse 47, or chapter 17, verse 47. What he says in that is something incredible. He says, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He says, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. When we think about this, the battle is always the Lord's. It doesn't matter if you're David against Goliath or your sin against the principalities of this world. It's always a David and Goliath situation. And David goes down there and he takes 5 little stones with him and he puts one of them in the sling. And we know this story from junior church or wherever you learn this story. And he's whipping the sling around and it hits the giant right in the head and it knocks him to the ground. And what does he do next? He takes the giant sword. I don't even know how he lifted the giant sword, but he takes the giant sword and he cuts his head off and he holds it up, because what is he saying in that moment? It is finished. We have won. The battle belongs to the Lord and we won. We won. We are victorious. And all, think of all of Israel at this point. They're scared out of their minds in this moment. What are they doing? Woo! Right? They're yelling. This is awesome. And the Philistines, they don't maintain their promise that they're going to be servants of Israel. They run like crazy and they're just chucking. And so the Israelites then are following after them. But that's the story of that. But I want you to think about your Goliath and about my Goliath. The Bible's very clear about our Goliath. It's bigger than Goliath. It's bigger than a 9-foot. This is how I imagine him. It doesn't tell us, a drooling, slobbering. Like when he says something, he's spraying it all over you. He is a warrior of warriors. It's bigger than that, and it's called sin. That is our Goliath. There is nothing that you and I could do. There is nothing that you and I could ever do to kill it. The scriptures describe this in John 10:10, our Goliath. It says that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is the Goliath. This is this is Satan who's coming and he's running. And it says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Think of Goliath in your head. And this is what Satan does in our lives every day. He's looking for someone. He's looking for someone he can devour and take out. This is our Goliath. This is what the scriptures tell us. Romans 6:23 tells us what our Goliath does. The wages of sin is what? Death. We're not winning this battle, is basically what it's saying. We're not going to win. You are not going to defeat the Goliath in your life by yourselves. You cannot do it. It is an impossibility. He is bigger. Your sin is bigger than anything that you can defeat on your own. Romans 3:10 and 12 says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one does good, not even one. And it says, man, you cannot defeat this Goliath. You are not righteous. You are not like God. Only God is righteous. Only God is good. And it's telling us and it's painting a picture of the Goliath in our life that we cannot slay on our own. We cannot do it on our own. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but if you feel bad, that's an honest diagnosis of every one of us in here, that we are sinners, that we have a giant in front of us called sin, and we need someone to fight the battle for us. What does David say? Who does the battle belong to? What? Let's say that all together. The battle belongs to what? The battle belongs to the Lord, and that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to come into the valley, to come in and fight on our behalf. God sent his one and only Son for us to come into the valley against the Goliath in our life, something that we could not rescue ourselves from. When Saul was shaking in his boots, you and I should be shaking in our boots if we do not have a warrior whose name is Jesus. If we do not have the Lion of Judah in our lives, we should be shaking in our boots because we cannot defeat it. And yet, Jesus lived this perfect life that we could not. And then he went to the cross and he absorbed the judgment we earned. And what does he say when he lifts himself up with that last breath? What does he say? It is finished. Tetelestai. Think about that for a second. He is not only, think about this. What he is saying is the battle is won. You are victorious. You have been forgiven. Your Goliath that is in your life is no more. This is the reality in which we live. He is, in that moment, he is the warrior king, and he's also the evangelist, saying, it is finished. It is finished. That's what Jesus did for us. David was pointing to something greater than himself. He was pointing to the one who actually defeats Goliath. The scripture in Colossians 2. I love this verse in Colossians chapter 2. It says this. At the cross, Jesus disarmed the rulers, the authorities, the powers, and publicly put them to shame. What is Jesus saying in that moment? I stepped on Satan's head. I crushed his head. I am the warrior. I am the one who's victorious. I am the one who's defeated sin. I am the one who has defeated death. 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And it is proof of what he's saying, that it is finished. That's the proof. That's the holding up of the head when Jesus pops out of the grave. Do you see this, church? We do not live as people who are not victorious. Here's the reality, though. Because you and I, we cannot go to this battle. We cannot fight on our own behalf. We needed someone to be that warrior for us. And what do we do? Think about the evangelist. He's running back to the city. You're waiting, going, man, are we going to be slaves? Are we going to be slaves to this? Or are we going to come out victorious? The evangelist comes over the hill and he says, Tetelestai, it's finished, guys. We won. We won. It is the greatest news ever. This Bible describes it as blessed are the feet of those who run with the gospel, who run with the good news, who share the good news. It's the greatest news ever because you and I couldn't defeat the giant in our life. You could not defeat sin. in your life. And what do we do? What do? Church, we receive it. We receive Jesus's victory for us, and we declare it is finished. Not just like a little bit finished. It's all the way finished. All of your sins, your past sins, your present sins, and guess what? You're probably going to sin again, but Jesus paid for that too. It is finished. You have been given the righteousness of Jesus. This victory has been given to you. You are not the ones who won, but you are the ones who live in victory. We are the ones who live in the victory of what Jesus did for us. This is good news that we receive by grace. You have been saved through faith, not a result of works. You cannot be good enough. You could not defeat it. You don't have a big enough sword in your life. You don't have enough willpower. You do not have enough discipline in your life to live the life that Jesus lived and the life that he gave up for you and for me, all of the sins of the world, all of our sins, all of the wrath of God, all of the justice of God. In that moment, it happened. It is finished. It is finished. That announcement of the good news is something that we should share. It's the announcement that each one of you, like the Bible talks about, there's like the spiritual gift of the runner, the evangelist who can just run and just, it just shares the gospel, and the church has those. But it is like, if you're in the city that won, would that not be something that you're talking about at the coffee shop? Come on now, right? At the grocery store, in your house, like, we won. This is awesome. We won. We're victorious. We live a victorious life now because we won. Because Jesus really won, and we've received that. Our warrior went to the cross for us, and he won the battle for us. And we live in light of that. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those of you who have said yes to Jesus before, you need to understand and you need to live in that. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This doesn't mean that we live like, oh, can we sin a bunch more and keep sinning so grace abounds? No, Paul says, let's not do that. Let's live victorious. The sin that is in your life right now, Jesus can take, Jesus can heal, Jesus can do all of these things to make you this, what he's doing, to start this good work, to finish this good work in your life. And so if you're said yes to Jesus, this is what's going on. There is no condemnation in your life. Man, we repent and we come back. We're not being saved again. We're just saying, Jesus, I'm sorry that I have not lived what? A victorious life. I've not lived in light of the victory that you won, the righteousness that you've imputed onto me. That's what we're saying. But man, I'm so thankful. It's not by my works, but it's by your works that you did this. You did this. And we live in that. If you don't know who Jesus is, I don't want to skip over the gospel. Here is the gospel, very simple. Every human being ever born, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. You've got a Goliath in front of you. And there's only one way to win. Only one way. Now, all religions don't lead to this. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. Through my sacrifice. Through what I've done for you. And if you want to have a relationship with God, there is only one way. God, I'm sorry for my sins. I accept King Jesus. I accept Warrior King. I accept him as Lord of my life. I accept the righteousness that he's given me. And I want to live a victorious life in him. And if you've never done that, I would invite you right now to do that in your heart, in your life, in this place, in this space right now, because King Jesus wants you. He wants you to know that he came for you, that he died for you, and he doesn't want that Goliath that you cannot solve to be in your life. He wants to rule your life in an incredible way, because there is one who is running around. He comes like a thief. He comes to rob and to steal and to do all of these things. But the end of that verse, that's part A of that verse. It's John 10:10. And then there's part B. I've come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. This is King Jesus. This is what he does. He comes and he takes the sin out of our lives and he gives us abundant life. If you are in that city and you're in that city, you're about to be enslaved if you lose, right? I will tell you right now, if you do not have King Jesus, you're in that. You're enslaved to sin. You are enslaved to sin. And Jesus goes, come on over. Come on over to this city. Live with me. Live with me, and I will give you an abundant life. I will give you a life that is exactly what I want for you. One that is free from the slavery and the bondage of sin. And you can live in light of that. And so if you've never done that, I want you to invite you right now to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what does this do for us? What does this mean for us? What does this good news mean for us? And one, it means this. You're going to go into your college campuses. You're going to go into your work. You're going to go into your homes. Be evangelists. This is the greatest news ever told. This is the greatest news ever. It is incredible news that you get to share. Don't be afraid. God will be with you. Jesus says that. He says, man, I'm going to give you my spirit and I'll be with you in all of these things. And you're going to do greater things because my spirit will be upon you and you'll know when to speak and when to be quiet. And you just go and you be an evangelist and you say, hey, great news, guys. Jesus came. He fought our battle. And you begin to tell people. You begin to tell people who don't know it yet that they need Jesus. And all of a sudden, guess what? Who doesn't want to have the greatest news in their life? So that's one thing we do. Picture a whole city. This is how God designed the church. He designed the church to be a city, a light to the world around them. Think about this for just a moment. Okay, we're a city now. We're not just coming here listening to sermons and going, oh yeah, that was pretty good, or no, that was not so great. Here's the deal. I will tell you, I do not care if you think this is good or bad or not. Here's why. Because this is what the Lord gave me this week, and he's going to give me something next week. And then a couple weeks from there, he's going to give something. And this is what we have for the church today. But we're not here just to hear good sermons. We're here to live as a city that is victorious, a city that knows who they are, a city that knows they're victorious. And we live in light of that. And how do we live in light of that? How do we become a light to the community around us? We love one another. We sacrifice for one another. We serve one another. We had a whole sermon about it last week, and I'm not going to go into all the details on that, but I do want to say a couple of things about that. It's the way we go, hey, we're a city living victorious, and we're going to serve. So everyone gets to hear the good news. Everyone gets to be served. You are not volunteering here. You're serving King Jesus. Amen? You're serving King Jesus as you go into the nursery or into the high school room or into the making coffee, a barista, or you're connected to a small group where life is happening in a victorious way together. When you're opening the Word of God together and you're studying it and you're going, what's going on in your life? How's your marriage going? And it's not always that intense in small groups, but sometimes it is. And we're caring for each other and we're loving each other. And we're laying our lives down for each other. This is what the scripture tells us to do. And so if you're a college student, you're like, well, I'm just hanging out for 4 years. And I like coming to church and I like to hear the songs and stuff like that. Well, praise Jesus for that. I'm glad you're here. But I will tell you, if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to celebrate King Jesus, you learn to serve. You learn to be the servant of all. Jesus said that. You learn to serve each other. You learn to love each other. You learn to care about each other. Because what? A dying world will know. They will know we are his disciples by what? By our love for one another. Church, we love each other. We love the other people who've said yes to Jesus. We love them because the Bible describes the person next to you that has said yes to Jesus. That is your brother or your sister in Christ. We're family. We're family and we sacrifice for each other. Why? Because we live like a city who lives in victory. Man, when you have all the spoils of war, man, no one's greedy. No one's a competitor. We have all the spoils of war, right? You don't have to compete with the person next to you. You just go, hey, oh, you need that? Here you go. Acts chapter 2. The church is just starting off. I will tell you, Peter preaches a sermon. 3,000 people come. It's not a great sermon. I will tell you, hermeneutically, it's mediocre. It's mediocre. But the Spirit of the living God descends on the people. And what happens? What happens? 3,000 people say yes to Jesus. 3,000 people say yes to Jesus. And then what happens? And all who believed were together and they had all things in common. We have all things in common, folks, because why? The Lord has won the battle. And it's our battle, each one of us, but corporately, it's our battle. And he won. And we get to live in light of that. We get to live in the victory of Jesus. And we should love each other in that way. We love because Christ first loved us. He came, he lived, and he died. Man, our community, church isn't separate from evangelism. Just listen to me, church. Church is not separate from the good news. It is the bride of Christ. It is what he went and won the battle for. It's not separate. It's the thing that speaks really, really loud. This is good news. This is good news. I've told you how to join the battle a few different ways. You don't have to fight for your salvation. It is received through the Lord Jesus Christ and it is finished. But I will tell you, it's a way of loving each other. And I'm going to give you just a couple of things, a couple of verses. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is Galatians 2. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let me just tell you this, each one of you, if you've said yes to Jesus, this is what the Bible says about you. The Lord Jesus has said, here you go. Here's a gift of the Spirit for you. But here's the deal. If you don't use that gift, it's kind of like the parable where the dude's given like a talent and one's given 5 talents and another's given 10. Two of them do really well, right? They double it and they go, man, this is awesome. There's the one who's like, I don't want to use it because I don't want to waste it or I'm scared what's going to happen. And what happens to them? Do you remember? Oh, you wicked servant. It's not nice what that parable says. And I will tell you the same. The Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, has given you a gift. He's given you a talent to use for his body, to encourage, to love, to care about one another. And if you don't use it when you hit the pearly gates of heaven, what is he going to say? Oh, I hope it's not, oh, you wicked servant, I gave you this and you never used it. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth makes us feel guilty, right? Yeah. You're a sinner in need of a savior. Nobody likes to hear that, right? It makes you feel guilty. But it's guilty toward truth. You have a gift. Some of you are hospitable. Some of you have encouragement. Some of you are hands-on help. Some of you have generosity and just in your bones because the Spirit of God has given it to you. I will tell you, one of the greatest things that we've done here at Evangel in the last 2 months, 3 months, is there's this guy. His name is Daniel. He is from Ghana. He's about yay big. But if you come to one of his prayer meetings, you will sense God is with us. This dude can pray. And this dude beseeches the throne of God for this church. And he leads us in this it's Thursday at 1. Is that right? Is that correct? Yeah. Thursday at 1. You come out to this. Just come hang out with us. And it will blow your mind. It is different prayer than I've ever done. But he's taught me to pray differently. He taught me to pray expecting the living God to answer what we're asking. Not just like, here's Aunt Ida's big toe. And let's heal that up, God. And it's bigger than that. He's going, man, in Houghton County, in Michigan Tech, in our youth group, in all of these places, God, will you do a work? Will you start a revival? Will your spirit be there? And he believes that God's going to do it. That's the best part about him, but that's a spiritual gift. And we get to join in that. I am encouraged every Thursday at 1 p.m. as the church comes together to pray. So I want to invite you. I know some of you are working and all of that stuff. It's awesome. Last thing I want to say on this. Every believer gets the job of being an evangelist. If you said yes to Jesus, you've received the greatest news ever. You stingy turkeys, don't keep that to yourself. Share the good news of Jesus. Oh, I'm scared. They might not like me. Oh, do you want them to know who Jesus is? Do you want your friends to know who Jesus is? Do you want them to experience the greatest news ever told? Everyone gets to be that. Some people are specially equipped to do that, but all of us have the power to do that. I say this all the time. Everybody has one sermon in them. Everybody. Everyone could stand here and do a sermon. It's called your testimony. I was once a sinner, and I didn't know I needed a Savior. Then I met Jesus, and I received my Savior, and now I live differently because He is Lord of my life. That's your sermon. Go and say it and spray it all over the place. That is the greatest news for each individual. It's the greatest news for the family of God that Jesus came, He lived and died, and He said, it is finished. It is finished. It's the greatest news ever. I'll just tell you a couple things. These are just more announcement type things. There's a little QR code in front of you. If you want to join in the battle, if you want to join in with your brothers and sisters and loving them and caring about them and moving in the direction of sharing the greatest news ever, there's one in front of you. There's one on the back thing. There's also, if you're like, hey, I don't have a phone with me today, I guess I can't do it. We have a piece of paper right back there. Check off something that you can eat, and there's a basket back there that you can put it in. Why? Why do we do this? Because we're a city that God has designed that we would corporately love each other, that we would corporately proclaim the good news of Jesus, that we would corporately believe that God wants no one to perish. The Father wants no one to perish, not one of your friends, not one of your neighbors, not one of your professors, not anyone. He wants no one to perish, but all to come to repentance and faith, all to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, that He won the battle. He is victorious, and we share in that victory because tetelestai, it's finished. Father God, we come. As the band comes and we're going to sing this song that's going to be awesome, it's victory in Jesus. Make this a prayer of our hearts. Make this us believe this to be true. Make us be excited on our campuses, in our workplaces, with our families and with our neighbors and with the kids in our homes, that they would understand who Jesus is and that we won the battle because of Him and that it's the greatest news ever told. God, I just ask that your Spirit would descend upon us right now. Empower us to do great works for you. Empower us with the gifts that you want to give us. God, I think many times as Christians, we sit back and there's these gifts sitting under the tree, but we never open them. We never ask for them. And so today we ask as a church, we ask, God, give us all the gifts. Give us all the spiritual gifts that we may be proclaimers, that we may be evangelists, that we may believe in the victory of Jesus and live out this victorious life as a city on a hill. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.